sit. What? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich. What? The GK finds the sugar dimes, can't quit. What? Now pop the cork and steam the Vega and get lit. What? 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 Introducing Phantom of the Dark, walk through my heaven with leather.
You are tuning into the For Profit Podcast. We are your host. I am Haven B, here with my main man, Jiggy Jiggy JD.
Yo.
What up? We back in buddy? This piece after, I believe, a well-handicapped week. Back on focus.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's a grind, man. And it sucks you have to admit that you weren't focused as well. But I would just ask anyone trying to do this for 50 every week, every year, you're going to hit lows, especially after what we did after the pandemic. And, you know, it just happens. But the important thing is you see that, you lock in, and then you fuck shit up. And that's what we did.
Ugh, boy, that was a great feel. That's how it's supposed to happen. It's supposed to be boring. It's supposed to be, okay, that, all right, this should be a short segment this week. Okay.
Where we were wrong.
Yeah, that one might be kind of short. I don't know. You go first, I guess. I don't really know.
I didn't actually have that. I think I only had like four plays. So I don't think I wasn't wrong. I pushed JT and Rom.
Yeah, that was not. Yeah, I mean, that was the end of it right there, right? That was the one that we needed to basically have a perfect week, which I've never had no losses in head-to-heads, first round leader. And
oh yes. Congrats yeah. On first round leader.
Now, I don't think I've ever had no losses head-to-head, first round leader, and outright. And I don't know if I ever will, because that is, well, I feel like that's almost impossible to do, but yeah, so
you would have to go light 1 week and you can do it. If you go lighter, yeah. If you go lighter 1 week. I did 1 week. It helps when you go, if you get a wire to wire,
yeah,
which is very rare. I think maybe two a year you'll probably get.
For sure. And I've had first round leaders in head to head plenty, and I've swept with outrights or swept with first rounds, but never
the trifecta. Okay.
Would have been cool. We're JT, if he plays the par fives in one under, which those are like the easiest par five. I was watching with my buddy, the Seltzer bro, who went to SC and played that course a million times. He's like, these par fives are fucking easy. What is he doing? And, you know, if he plays those par fives and two under, he wins the golf tournament, pretty much. So,
all right. Well, so this one's going to be long.
Well, we were right.
Yes. It might just be short. It might just be everything. So I mean, even the full tournament head or the round by round head to heads, which I've struggled on this year, you have to be honest. I went 2-1 on those. And obviously the three balls were fire. They were awesome this week. All plus money. I think I went like 7-4 or some shit. So it was a good week, man. I don't know what else to tell you. I like that golf course. I'm ready. I can't wait for next year there. That's for sure. We'll see what happens. But, yeah. You know, and you'll go through lulls, and that's why it's super important to just stick with your staking. I haven't changed my staking since, I shouldn't say that. I've changed it recently, but generally you will just, and that's only because my bankroll has increased substantially. So, but for purposes of what I would suggest people to do, is I'm a year guy. For 1 year, I want everything to be the same. Normally, your role won't change. I have more income just outside of sports betting within the last probably 2-3 months. So I'm willing to take on a little bit more risk with what I do here. But generally speaking, just have a year, take a look at what you've done, see where you need to work, and if you can increase after that, you increase. You have a large enough sample after that, and you know, and then you go for another year. And that's, you know, if you're gonna do this long term, it's super key to just, that's why I can withstand lulls. And it wasn't really like I was getting fucking destroyed. It's just, you know, I think I had like three straight losing weeks, which happens when you have four or five straight winning weeks coming off the suspension. That's just the way the betting is. That's why bankroll management is so important, because then you'll have
crucial
to get you right back where you need to be. So that's just kind of, you know, it is what it is, but embrace that grind, embrace the, just that, like, that discipline is kind of my suggestion. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but that's super important to me.
No, that's super important. Definitely maintaining your staking stakes. But just remember, I cannot stress this. I got some DMs this week from a couple of people just getting advice. And I just keep trying to emphasize the feeling of losing is so much worse than as good as a feeling of winning feels because you think you're educated. Okay. I'm just telling you, you don't want to get in trouble. I have gotten into trouble for sure. over this.
Me too.
And it is one of the, it's one of the worst. I think it may be just as bad as drugs.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's stressful, right? Like, it's just like, it's that feeling of just like, and look, I mean, we're grinders. Like, I will always figure anything out just because that's how I was raised and, you know, nothing was given. So you always had to figure shit out. You had to work, you had to do what you needed to do. But at the same time, it's just like, there's no reason to put yourself through that, especially when, look, if you just stake the fucking same, you will, and you just, and you have enough plays, the worst fucking guy in the world, if they don't parlay, they don't tease, and all they do is place their unit size on a -110 bet, right? And I guess, I know golf is not the same as that, but let's just, you know, even it out, -110 aside, get the worst sports bettor in the fucking world will go 50-50 in those and he'll lose the vig. Where people get in trouble is when they start parlaying shit, when they increase, when they chase. That is why the books are so profitable. It's not because of the vig. It's because people don't have the discipline to bet in increments that are A, the same, or reflect your edge, which, let's be real, if you're even talking about this, you probably don't have one. So that's kind of where, for me, it took me a couple years, honestly, to embrace that fully.
Realistically.
Yeah, look, but here's the thing. It's like, bro, like the way that I look at it, I think it's our tuition. Like I still have student loans that I'm paying off. I pay plenty in actual tuition to get my law degree.
No, I agree. But
this is just, it's betting tuition, and very few people don't go through it at some point in their lives. And you pay that to realize it. The guys who can understand that and take that, those lessons, and then apply them and become sharp. Those are the guys who will get, you'll get that money paid back to you, no problem, because it really is not that difficult to beat these markets, especially golf.
Yeah, if you can't spot the sucker at the table or between you and your book, go check the mirror, my friend.
Yeah.
It's definitely you.
So, you know, and that's what it is. But hey, look, we have, it's a good time to lock back in. We have two tournaments. Then we have the fucking granddaddy of them all. We have the biggest tournament of the year. And then we come into a West Coast swing again. Where we're going to get, you know, starting in January, that's right around the corner, man. That's, you know, after the Masters, it's a month and a half, and we're a fucking Tory, right?
Bro,
we're a Pebble, like we're doing right, we're right back where we started last year, you know. So it's, you know, it's a good time to start locking back in and trying to, you know, make some profit.
All right, are we moving on to this week, sir?
Yes, sir. Oh, he didn't play
this almost. You don't want to go to the bullpen quite yet, do we?
Not quite.
Okay, this week we're going to Brendan Toot Alley, known as Port Royal Golf Course, par 71, 680-42. Wow, haven't seen one of those in quite some time. Bermuda course corollaries include El Calameleon and Harbortown.
Okay.
Past champions, of course, Brendan Toot. Okay, let's get a little bit of background on this course. Resort-style course will play just over 1,600 yards, par 71. Only three par fives, three holes played easiest last year. 17th played as the hardest hole. 17th hole played as the hardest of the three, giving up only 32% of the birdies last year. Par 3 third hole is the fourth easiest on the course, playing just under 150 yards. That means all the wedges and nine irons.
Hole in one, yes. We'll get to that later.
Three other par threes on the course are tough, playing 13th, 16th, 17th. Toughest holes in 2019 come when they measure over 210 yards. Interesting. Wind will be in play this week. Yeah, be prepared.
I'm pulling up the fucking forecast right now on this place.
Water is also in defense of this course. So I'm kind of looking between Harbortown and just guys who know how to plot it around. Strokes gained off the tee, not big this week. So ball striking on got approach, putting, and around the greens.
We won't have strokes gained data because it's like, apparently there are no volunteers in foreign countries, which is just wild to me.
Nobody cares about golf. No one to pay them.
I understand. Can we go down to like Home Depot and just, okay, that's probably going to get me in trouble, but all right. Anyways, let's move on.
Okay, so are we going to the top of the board already?
Top of the board. Yeah, let's move along. I don't have anything to add. That was a fucking phenomenal breakdown, bro.
Top of the board. Almost here.
Top of the board. Golfers, top of the board.
Tasty. Who is popping up here for you? Let me guess. Brendan Tube's going to be your guy again.
Well, if you want to talk about top of the board, it's fucking Will Zalatoris, the infamous one. The guy who cost me a shitload of money at the PGA.
Boy, you went balls deep. That needs a drop.
I just didn't understand.
Balls deep needs a drop.
This guy hasn't even fucking won a tournament on the Corn Ferry. How is he supposed to win a PGA tournament? I don't understand.
I think I'm gonna go Varner. Varner's working with Todd's coach.
God, well, as long as it's not working with Spieth's coach. Oh God. Now, you see that tweet I sent out? Burr's working with Spieth's coach. Spieth's coach should be fucking put out the pasture at this point. That guy sucks.
Who is?
Burr's working with Spieth's coach. It's like, what in the fucking world would make you look at that dude and be like, I want to work with the guy who's working with him? If you're Burr.
Nothing.
You've done such a great job over the last 2 years with Spieth. You know what? Yeah, man, I really like what I'm seeing from his game. Can you help my swing out?
Well, it depends on what he's doing also. Like, if Jordan,
unless he's fucking teeing his ball up and letting him swing and not saying shit, he's doing too much.
But here's the thing. Jordan has admitted he's having demons. So it may not be on the coach.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
you know,
I think I would just look elsewhere. Can we just say that?
I mean, what was the old school mental guy that everybody was going to for a while? Costas used to talk about him all the time on the Rotella. Rotella, you know.
No idea.
You know who Bob Rotella is?
No.
Jeez. Man, I thought you were a golf guy. Anyway, Bob Rotella was the guy who.
Bob Rotella is making me some fucking money.
I don't give a fuck. He was the big mental guy that people were going to in the late 90s, early 2000s.
I can't pull it together.
And okay. He was killing it, bro.
I don't know. I think everyone should just stop being pussies. How about that? Okay, let's move along. Will Zalatoris, and there's no bookmaker in the lines up yet, which is super random because by now they usually have them. They're sleepy too. Will, Brendan Tude, Varner, and Doc Redman are all under three at good old Bet Online. Will is a straight favorite, man.
Under three, what? What are you talking about?
What? Under 30, I'm sorry.
I was like, under three?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
So first on my board says Doc Redman's the guy.
Yeah, I have Varner Redman.
Varner Redman 1-2.
Yeah, same.
Followed by Norlander. This doesn't seem like a course fit.
There's something with Will here. Fifth of the Shriners. Jesus Christ. This guy actually has been pretty solid. Eighth at Punta Canta.
He's 14th.
US Open. Wait, am I looking at this right? He got sixth at the US Open? Jesus Christ.
That has nothing to do with this course. I mean, I mean, I can name
second
you.
Second at the Evans Scholars. That's a huge tournament. I'm just kidding.
I can name Corn you Ferry a lot of guys.
Championship that happened. I didn't even know that. He got 19th. He won TPC Colorado Championship back in July.
I don't see it. I think.
Why are there two U.S. Opens? Why is there? I don't understand. Whatever.
So who are you going with at the top?
You missed a cut to Sanderson. That's a pretty easy golf tournament.
Who are you going with at the top?
I'm infatuated with Will right now because he's cost me so much money that I don't really know what to do with him. Sorry for my dog barking. She's a fucking lunatic. I don't know what to do with her besides maybe like let her run and see what happens. Okay. Will, Todd, Varner. Yeah, Varner and Redman. Two doesn't do it much for me. But I mean, reality is this tournament fucking sucks and I'm not going to watch a second of it. How about that?
I may tune in for the last.
I'll probably watch on Thursday, but I have a big weekend, so
I watch Thursday, and I'll probably watch the end of Sunday. That's probably about it.
Todd on the oh my god, Todd has been playing better events, so this is kind of important when you're looking at your numbers this week. Like these guys have been playing nothing tournaments, and Tude's been playing like the best tournaments. Doesn't matter because he's awful off the tee, but you know, he's probably at this point, Tude's got to be about a top 10, top 20 putter in the world.
Two is great. Two is, once he gets on that green, he is excited. Yeah, you know what?
Fucking baller.
What are the odds that Sedgefield is similar to this place?
Well, what tournament is that again?
The one in the Carolinas. The one that
he went that one too?
No, I'm just saying he played really well there. I don't know.
I think his ball striking has fallen off too much. I might actually be a full toot fade because we're gonna get some value on the course history idiots who are like, oh, well, he won here, let's bet him. So that means, you know, he'll be like even money versus these guys who are just better golfers than he is right now. Like Varner and Redmond, I think they're just better.
Yeah, no.
Maybe not Varner because he can't putt, but Redmond, who can't putt really either, but the better putter.
Yeah, you definitely want to. I'll tell you another thing you want to cue into is guys who don't get flustered. If the wind's going to be pumping, definitely want to go. I mean, Charlie Hoffman over the years has been a pretty good wind player. I haven't seen
him. Hits it low, though. Yeah, Hoffman hits low hooks, right?
I don't know. He used to hit every which way, but okay. I don't know what his tendency is at the moment.
I want to say last year the wind was almost nothing here.
Well, yeah, they should have been 22, 23 under par. That's the case.
Yeah, it was 24.
What the hell happened to Henrik Stenson, bro?
Oh, dude.
Is he just like...
I think he got the COVID, bro.
Did he get COVID?
I don't know, man. Is he in this field? What the fuck? Why is Stenson in this field?
Dude, when's the last time you seen Stenson on TV?
Yeah, I mean, he's also old as fuck, right? Like, the dude is... He's in the twilight. He's got to be almost 50, right?
Dude, when was that British Open? 2 years ago?
That was 17, wasn't it?
Francesco Mullin. It was Lowry. Oh, it was 3 years ago. It was Lowry. Lowry, Francesco.
When Tiger was winning on the back after nine?
No, I'm saying Chesko won? The last 3 years. Chesko, Lowry, Chesko, and then Stenson, I believe. That's how it went.
So, yeah, 19, 18, 17, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
3 years. For a guy who can't hit fucking. Well, he won the Hero, bro. What are you talking about?
Well, there you go.
I mean, the linebackers are like, fuck, he won the Hero, man. That's the fucking best tournament in the world.
I think I may put him on the back burner if he gets out so good. Dude
missed the cut at the Sanderson. He got 21st at the Punta Canta. And then everyone missed the cut at the Sanderson. That was just a weird golf tournament. I'm almost ready to throw that golf term out the window because no, everyone's like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck happened there. So many good players missed a cut, and that course I've played that course. It's so easy.
Yeah, I don't really have a whole bunch of interest in like just going nuts on this card. I think we should just say, look, you know, go with our top five or six, maybe some top 20s. That's where the value is going to be on this because this field is.
Oh, I think this might be a nice one to just to fucking take off. To be honest,
yeah.
So this is the kind of card where I would if I'm not putting out an outright card, but because my outright card I have value on so many fucking guys it would be like a fucking it'd be like a 20 guy outright card, and those are just really annoying because trolls roll up and they're like. Oh, look at you. It's like, yeah, dude, I have everyone because there's like, I have value on every fucking guy here.
Dude, you're not winning unless you have a troll, bro. You need to embrace.
Yeah, dude, I don't really worry about this. Actually, I'm talking shit to him. I have no problem with trolls. But like Doug Gim, I have huge amounts of value on. Huge value on Seifer. I'm just going to start renaming these guys. I don't care. My boy Chris Baker, Josh Teeter. I don't know who that is. I need to look into him. I'm not saying I would ever bet him, but I have value on him just as a pure.
Josh Teeter is the guy that robbed us. I think it's Seth Schill, first round leader.
Jesus. Duffner. Norlander. I mean, I could have all these dudes.
Duffner, Chris Baker, your boy.
That's my dude, yes. Who I hate. My numbers hate Denny McCarthy. That's weird. You used to love him. What happened here?
What happened to Luke List? He used to kind of just be hovering. I haven't seen him on a card in a while.
I wonder why my numbers don't like McCarthy. He's a sixth of the Sandersons. He's just a putty. Oh, because of my ball striking. He is just. He had a little ball striking run in him, but it probably wasn't real. Getting seven at the Wyndham. I'll be off Denny. Ventura, my numbers have liked. Like, these guys must be regressing with ball striking big time over the last, like, recent. It's not even. I mean, he's just.
Your boy Alma's here.
Who?
Alma.
Max is here?
Max Max, your baby.
He's been so bad.
Yeah.
Talk about regression. Holy shit, man.
I'll tell you what, when you get that, when you get that nice check on the tour, bro, it's hard to keep going out there busting balls, bro.
But bro, like, listen to this shit, man. He has to run 9th at the Farmers, 6th at the WAPO, 14th at the AT&T, 5th at the Genesis. Like, that's some good ass fucking golf right there. And those fields are not bad fields. Those are like, there's no denominator that can get us to how much better those fields are than this field.
Is that Alma you're talking about?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't have him high because he's just been absolutely sucking dick for like,
Dude, I see miscut.
Yeah, he's awful. Jesus. Tringali, I like. Hoffman. I mean, I just look. Okay, who the fuck is Rasmus Højgaard? Has he just been crushing the European Tour?
Yes.
Does this guy fucking no? He doesn't necessarily suck. Højgaard. I guess he must. I don't follow European Tour. I don't have time for that shit.
It's a good.
They all fucking suck anyways.
Højgaard hits a good.
Yeah. Is he good?
No, I'm just saying he hits a good. Solid ball.
I'm going to find him.
Solid ball.
Sony Hogarth's. I'll tell you a story while I look this up. You know that Højgaard beer?
Yeah.
One of the worst when I was young, and I didn't drink at all. But obviously, that's changed.
That's changed tremendously. But,
when I was young, I never did. I didn't have a drink of alcohol until like probably like a month before my 21st birthday.
Okay.
And one of the first things I got really hammered on was Højgaard beer. And it's like a wheat beer from Europe, obviously. German shocker. And I remember nothing else other than like it was the most disgusting thing in the world, putting it back into the toilet. It was like, oh, I can't even sniff the kind of German Hefeweizens anymore. I do love Blue Moon though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different taste. He's number 74 in the world, this Rasmus Højgaard guy. He's actually Swiss, it looks like. So, he's a nice guy. All the Swiss, everyone loves a Swiss.
That's why he doesn't pop, though, on my model, because he's on the European tour, probably.
I don't understand. This guy's fucking suck dick. Am I looking at the right guy? Because this guy sucks on the European tour. This guy's been awful. There's no way.
Be careful, because they have a lot of names that
are the same. Rasmus?
Yeah. Dude, Paul Stankowski is here? What in the hell?
Hold on a second. Rasmus Højgaard. Rasmus? This has to be the same guy.
Rasmus?
Oh, no. That's his rank after. Miscut, T48. Miscut, T31. That doesn't do anything for me. He does have... Oh, God. Oh, he started going off. English... Oh, never mind. He had a little run there. He must have got some Swiss chicks with these Ws.
He's good, bro. Looking. I watched the boys.
British Masters. Hosted by Lee Westwood. Good for him. He got second at the British Masters. Sixth. How can a guy who's never won the Masters come on, Britain? Yes. You're like, yeah, Lee Westwood, the guy who's melted down at numerous Masters. We're gonna have him host our Masters. Awesome. Anyways, Lee Westwood. Yeah, so we got second, sixth, third, and first in a month stretch at these year. We got at the Hero. I mean, these things are so far. These things are so long ago. I don't know. That seems crazy to me. I'm going to look to fade that guy. He's not playing good golf right now.
He's yeah.
3-1. The fuck?
I don't really see.
This is the worst fucking field ever. There hasn't been a worse field ever in the history of PGA Tour.
I've seen that Heritage. Boy, I've seen that field be really bad one time.
Well, the Heritage, they have to have at least one guy in the top 40 in the world rankings. This, I don't think this does.
Your boy Seifert is here.
That's my dude. Yeah, he's a million to one to win this. Justin Suh is 40.
Yeah, nothing really tickling. This spot just
cut this podcast and tell everyone to go bet something else this week.
Maybe this is a field bet. See if you can find that.
Oh, fuck yeah. Hold on. Hold. Everyone just hold. Why did I not? God, this is why I love you. God, what do you think? What do you need to bet? I bet it at any plus money. I'll bet it right now.
Yeah, plus 150. I'll take the field bet.
Plus 250. Holy shit!
Well, yes, because that's because they think Will Zalatoris is Tiger.
Oh yeah, Will Zalatoris. He's like the fucking corn tiger.
Yeah.
Start calling him. I don't even know how much I'll put on this. I want to put everything in my life on this. Okay, before I bet this, let me tell you the bottom end of the guys in this. This is the last guys. So it's 30, let's see, it's 30 guys.
Okay.
in the field. So it's the top 30. Hadley, Piercy, Knox, RCB, Pat Perez. Podrick Harrington is in the, I don't even get Podrick Harrington in this field. That's how bad this fucking field is. If Podrick Harrington is not in your field bet, you have one of the worst golf tournaments ever created. I mean, how can I not get Podrick Harrington in my field bet? He's listed, for fuck's sake. What is his actual odds? Not at my local. 60. Oh, my God. Podrick Harrington is 60 to 1 to win the golf tournament. I don't even know how much to put in this. I'm going to put, I'm just going to throw a little Benji on it and call, see what happens.
Yeah, I'm going field this week. If I was to actually place crazy, I'm just going on some two goes.
Field, that's it. Done.
I'm going to go, I would go with, I do like Harold Varner this week. I think he, he's got a little bit of value. I'm trying to think of anybody else.
How can Harold Varner ever make enough putts to win an actual golf tournament?
Well, he was up there, what was it? One of the major, right? Wasn't he up there?
No, Riv. He was up there, Riv.
Riv. There you go. And it may get, it may be windy enough that he doesn't have to make a shit ton of putts. He's got that low center of gravity.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, he probably is. The, him and Will are probably the best ball strikers in this field, right?
All right.
Let's take a look at ball striking.
So you said, so you definitely are fading too, and whenever his pops, whenever his head to heads come.
Yeah, I mean, if I can get these guys at plus numbers, I'll grab them. Yeah, if I can get Redmond and Varner at plus numbers, I'll fade Tude right now. I don't give two fucks. That guy is not good. And if it's windy, you know what sucks when it's windy? When you hit it like this.
Wow. Shrimps.
No, it's like this. Like it hits the iron, and you know, you strike it, and this is the sound.
Very scary.
Yeah, it's scary. Piercy's a guy. He's a good wind player. Hits a low hook. Stallings, good wind player. Duff Daddy is 100 to 1, man.
Bro, I don't know what is going on with Duff Daddy. Duff, I tell you what, he's close to my age.
What about is this a spot where our boy Bramlett can make a fucking move or no?
As much as I love my brother,
that's your guy.
Haven't seen much of Mr. Bramlett.
I mean, 41st, 44th, 43rd. He's making cuts out there.
I thought Danny Willett was making a little comeback. He was showing up, but we haven't seen much from him. Boy, he hit the. It doesn't matter. He'll always have a great soft place in my heart. Thank you, Mr. Yeah, Willett. That was sweet.
He's also one of the top five horse master champions of all time. But anyways, we'll get to that next week or a couple weeks. I'll be doing live from Bandon Dunes for a Masters, by the way.
The Masters has quite a few randos. Everybody's saying it's a chalk fest.
Yeah, not anymore, man. I don't. I just
take
don't,
out we might Tiger. As
well talk about some Masters shit.
Take out Tiger. Take out Tiger and bro. A lot of
50 to 1 or unders, I would say. Especially if you go back in like the 80s and shit, the 70s, 80s.
Yeah, bro, I can rattle off 7 right off the top of my head. Freaking the one you just mentioned. Willett.
Mize.
Schwartzel. No, I'm talking about recent. Schwartzel, Jack Johnson, Trevor Immelman.
I'll push back a little bit on this. Immelman, yes. But Willett, Schwartzel and Johnson, at that time in their careers, they were all trending to be able to be competing at that. They had won a shitload. Like they weren't like your fucking name brand guys, but they were not more than 50, 60, 66 or less. I don't know, but like,
I mean, they were better players. I'm just saying, like, there's been some.
I mean, Immelman is awful.
Schwartzel wasn't that good back then.
Yeah. Such a pretty golf. His golf swing is like one of the best golf swings ever created. So,
does Cabrera have a Masters?
Who? And Hill?
Yeah.
I don't know, but that dude's just a fucking major. That guy's a bulldog. I mean, he's competed in so many. Yeah, he has a green jacket for sure.
I'm trying to think who went against Lynn Matisse.
He's a guy who was out of fucking nowhere, but then from there on out, he competed. He never won a major.
He won two U.S. Opens.
Fucking thing called Google. We can just fucking look at the show. He definitely has a green jacket.
I think he won two U.S. Opens.
I think he's one of those guys that's like had no real professional wins on the PGA Tour, but won like a shitload of majors.
God, probably
PGA Tour wins.
probably my favorite person to watch play was Cabrera.
He won the U.S. Open. Yeah, dude, this dude has three PGA Tour wins, and two of them are majors.
Yeah, baby.
I mean, that's pretty fucking cool. I like that. That guy's he's a monster. He won the Greenbrier.
Yes, sir.
What a weirdo.
All right. Other than that, any closing statements?
I mean, take your field bet. If you want an outright card, just shoot me a DM. I will put one together. I'm not putting it out there because it's going to be like 1,000 golfers. I will have full tournament head-to-heads. I will likely have first round results. I'm just going to be sitting here fucking working and watching golf on Thursday. And there might be some wind advantages. So I'll have a first round leaderboard. I'll just burn my money on that shit because I've been doing it all year. But take it light, relax, and we have a big couple weeks. Next week, Houston Open, the prep for the Masters should be a good field. A lot of guys like to get a little work in. We're going to see Brooks 100%. We might as well talk about this. Are there any guys that you're looking at that we might be able to grab before Augusta? Obviously, we're a couple weeks out, so a lot of the numbers are probably gone. But anyone you're looking at that you might want to, just be like, hey, check your random shit. And
I got to bring it up. I'd have to bring it up. Hold on. Where are we at? Futures.
I mean, so like, I've
already got Bryson at stupid numbers, which is
that's about 30. I'm fucking super stoked on that. So, I mean, we have some wiggle room.
Haddon kind of showed me that it's going to be a big name player.
Haddon,
I don't know if he can win.
With Haddon right now.
Boy, Wolf has made a jump. Holy shit.
Yeah, he's not
crap.
What number do you have at Haddon? What would you bet Haddon at? Because I actually think Haddon will be on my card.
I bet him at 30. I bet him at 28 or 30, anywhere between there.
I want 30 on him. I heard that some rogue can't lay 35s. Would you grab him at 35?
I don't think he can win. I just don't.
Really?
I just don't think he can win. I think he's a great golfer. I think, I just think some guys are just going to be.
So you think Haddon can win, but you don't think Cantlay can win?
I just don't think Cantlay can win, bro. You asked me what I would grab him at. I didn't say I'm going to bet him.
No, I know, but what would you bet him at? You wouldn't bet him at 30. What would you bet him at?
I would bet him. Like, if I liked him, I would bet him at what you're saying. I'm just saying, I just don't think Cantlay's got the innards.
All right, I have bookmakers up right now. Brooks at 19. If he could creep up to 25, I think we have to bet him, right?
Yeah, maybe.
We have nothing else to talk about. We've only been talking for like 12 minutes. We gotta give the fuck up. People some content. We might as well start talking about the Masters. Let me just pull up. Okay, I have it here. Looking at bookmakers' odds, just a preliminary thing. Jordan Spieth is 40-1.
Bro, Ryan Palmer waxed him, bro.
There's no world where they open him at 40 to win this thing.
Ryan Palmer waxed him, son.
Bro, Ryan Palmer gave him the fucking D, bro. Like, it wasn't even a fucking question.
I know what I want you to do. I want you to go back through a year, and I want you to tell me what your win ratio on your two-unit bets, or two units or more. That's what I want to know.
My win ratio?
Yep.
Oh, it's something just stupid. It's ridiculous.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Like I said. Anyway.
Yeah.
Moving on.
I would say my one units are definitely a profitable too, so.
I know. I'm just saying. Just saying,
Okay, so a couple numbers that are interesting. I'm looking at a Reed 30. What do you think about a Reed 30?
I'm fine with Reed. I don't have to be coerced into Patrick Reed. I'm not going crazy on the Masters. I'll go crazy on Master props. I'm not going for a crazy outright.
Fucking bonkers on the Masters.
I'm not going bonkers on outrights. I'm going bonkers
on Woodland at 54 is such a bad number. Like that, some of these outright, these numbers, there's a lot of bad ones, but there's not a lot of good ones. I was hoping to see Bubba in the 50s. Like I sent out I have a couple guys. Shout out to Coach out in Colorado. Shout out to Jared. Those guys are great. And whenever I have like a little fucking hair at my sleeve, those are always the first guys that I call DM, because they have like a fucking 1,000 outs. And so they could just go look and tell me exactly what. Bo, obviously, the English math professor, who's not really one of those, but no big deal. And the best I could find on a Bubba was 35. And I'm looking at this. I'm looking at a bookmaker 33 right now, and I'm like, "Fuck, man, that's not going to change." So there's no reason to bet that now. But wish I could get it.
We were talking about Bubba quite some time ago.
Fucking trigger! I'm so stupid of us. God damn it, Bubba at 50. He's playing really good golf right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not a I'm going to absolutely destroy course history truthers for the Masters. It's going to be like my dissertation. I never had to do one because I don't have a PhD, but like I cannot wait to tell everyone how stupid they are for thinking there's an actual correlation between course history at Augusta and performance. So I don't even care about the fact that he's played well there. I care about the fact he's a winner, a proven winner of majors, and he's playing well right now.
Okay.
Anyone else? I mean, fucking Finau 37. This is my first time actually even looking at these numbers. Like,
I'm not going deep on the Masters.
No, man, it's gonna be the
props are where you make the money on the Masters.
Webb at 37. Webb, I think sets up good for Webb, don't you think?
This is why I give course history a little quick, because people who hate it, they don't talk about the guys who play at shit at certain courses. I rarely ever hear people talk about that part.
This guy sucks here.
See? Yeah, I never hear that. I hear like, oh, this guy plays well here. But, hey, certain guys hate.
You hear that Tiger at Riv all the time.
And?
That's like the only one.
Okay, so point exactly. Tiger, number one player in there, because everybody always says, you know, when it comes to course history and you're talking about a guy plays well or whatever, the guy's like, duh, he's like top 10 in the world. That's why he played well. That's why he plays well. Well, Tiger was number one player in the world. And you know what? He plays like absolute dog shit at Riviera.
He never played Riviera in his prime. Never did.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't.
Well, I don't know what you consider his prime.
His sample size in his prime at Riviera is like a fucking sliver. He played it early when it was still the LA Open, and then he stopped playing it. That was just an off. It was because he played Torrey and they're back to back.
Okay, I'm just saying. I'm just saying
that sample size is just so bad for any of the shit. Like, you know who sucks? You sucked at a master at Augusta. People were using 8-round samples and being like, "Oh yeah, this guy sucks at Augusta." It's Molinari. Guess what? The motherfucker had a 3-shot lead on the back nine last year.
He's playing good. See, again,
that's my point. It's like you suck at Augusta until you don't anymore. Okay. So give me a guy who had just won the British, who was in great form. He's obviously not the same guy he was. Like, he's completely lost his mind since then, but I don't give a fuck. Like, that's why it just makes absolutely no sense. You're taking an 8 to 12 round sample for most of these guys. And guess what? If you've been able to play this golf tournament enough to have a larger sample, that means you're a fucking insanely elite golfer.
Also means you're old as shit, probably.
The only way you get into this shit is if you're top 50 in the world, or you've won a golf tournament, or you've won the Masters, obviously. Like, those are the three ways. And obviously, there's exemptions, blah, blah, blah. You have to be top 15 in the world at the time of the cutoff, which, shout out to fucking Berger and Hovland. For whatever reason, they weren't, well, I know why they weren't, but they're not in this field because they weren't at the time of the cutoff. Top 15 in the world, won a golf tournament in that calendar year, or you've won the Masters before. If you are one of those three motherfuckers, you have a big enough sample size for us to draw any conclusions from, you are just a good golfer. So, of course, you're going to have good course history there. No one who's played that fucking thing enough times to give me a reasonable sample, you cannot tell me they played bad. That's my point.
I would say that I could be talked into betting Usti at 50.
I'm 60 above my room. That's fine.
I can be talked into that. Then and I did see we saw a little bit of Rose popped a little bit. What did he finish last week?
Yeah, but he probably didn't hit the ball. He probably just made everything he looked at. I'm gonna look. Oh, it's gonna take me a little while to get that up. Yeah.
See, J. Rose,
Masters Field. Anyways, that's my initial rant, but I have a lot more than that because this is it's insane to think that course history matters more at Augusta than it does at any other golf course. Now, does it matter to be familiar with it once or twice and to play well? I can get that. But like, if you think playing well there one time or two times in fucking a 10-year span and you've played well there a couple times, like, what the fuck is that, man? Like, if you want to use a 4 or 5 round sample to try to get any kind of edge in betting golf, I would love to take your bets every single fucking time.
Okay. All right.
Imagine using a 12-round sample and being like, this guy really is going to play well this week. A 12 motherfucking round sample, and you're like, this is the edge. You gotta be fucking kidding me. That's the dumbest shit in the world.
All right. I don't see any other value for outrights. Of course, the Masters week will be intense, but there's not really a whole bunch here.
Not a whole bunch. We have some good numbers, so we'll be able to grab some of these guys up top.
See.
The Bryson or Webb. I mean, I don't know. I have a good feeling about Webb, and he played well last week, which is what you like to see. I have a good feeling about Webb.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
it's one course where you don't necessarily have to bomb it. I mean, look. I mean, Tiger's not a bomber anymore. He's an unbelievably good iron player. He still is to this day. And I think this is a. I'm gonna have a lot of Webb. I think I'm gonna increase my exposure.
All right. Other than that,
that's enough. I got a hard out here.
All right. That being said, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I know this is a bit of a slow time of the year as far as your exciting tournaments, but opportunities abound.
Oh, real quick, Vegas, Masters Week, we will be there Wednesday to Saturday. We're staying at Caesars. If you want to come, you want to hang out, we will be there. Everything's booked. We're good to go. We're going to play golf on Thursday morning or maybe Friday. We'll see. See what kind of tee times we have available. But anyone who wants to come kick it, hang out in the sports book, I'm bringing claws. I'm not paying for those claws. I'm going to walk in the fucking CVS across the street and I'll buy like a fucking 30 pack. Well, you can't. 212s. Yeah. Wow. And then I'm just going to take them in my backpack and drink them right there on the floor. So, because I'm no dummy. And yeah, that's what we're going to do.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in to the For Profit Podcast. Once again, new single.
Hot one.
Hot. Off the presses. Yeah,
a little background on this one. You sampled it, right?
Yeah, I sampled this. Kanye, that's the beginning of the song. It's Kanye saying, I want to get this right in case somebody wants to sample. So, this is the For Profit debut.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
Of Come For Me.
Ooh, whoa, what's it called?
Come For Me.
Oh, Come For Me. Okay.
Yeah, because Kanye says, anybody going to come for me? So, that's the name of the song.
Got you.
I thank you guys for checking me out. Let me know in the comments, bars, fire, or trash. I think it's a banger. Let's get it cracking. We out.
Let's go. Peace out.
I want to make it so if someone wanted to sample and put it in a beat, it would be like perfect.
Let me see.
Let me see. They ain't gonna come for me until he done with me. They ain't gonna come for me until he done with me.
On the track.
Ain't nobody gonna come for me.
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 Till he done with me.
It finally happened. The conversation we've been waiting for. Kanye meets Joe Rogan, gonna be epic. Oh, that's for sure. And everyone is thinking that Kanye's gone off the handle. Kanye running out for presidents, got his sights on dismantling. Your current expectations of a politician. So I tuned everything out so I could really listen. I took notes just in case you couldn't really watch it. I'm about to hook you up, so right now, check the synopsis. I'm genuinely interested in what Kanye was planning. Alien ideas, it's like he from another planet. Got my mind ready for this tangent, stay so random. I bet he has two brains, so I guess he dreams in tandem. He said the music industry been raping artists. You ain't never gonna get no cake until the debt's paid. Praying on the fact that artists still live in poverty. And the chance of you getting big is like hitting the lottery.
Ain't nobody gonna come for me. Nobody gonna come for me. Nobody gonna come for me. Till they done with me. Nobody gonna come for me. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Nobody gonna come for me.
Next on the docket, we got part two of the discussion on how racism is still prevalent. We so mistrusting of the people who may have a different background. Say, I don't know you, I don't like you, how does that sound? We talked about how black folks don't even know where they come from. They relegated black history somehow to 1 month. And what you're saying is remember them in February, man. That shit is kinda lame. That idea is kinda scary. That my people
contribute to life, man. And all
all of your wars, and they came back to segregation after multiple tours. World Wars 1 and 2 in Vietnam, don't forget Korea. All we want is equal rights, we can barely see a light at the end of the tunnel. And to top it all off, to start to funnel drugs in the black communities, and it just put us further back, dividing unity. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's just trying to get you to change your current line of thinking. How much are you willing to unlearn, baby? Let it sink in. He's just trying to get you to change your current line of thinking.
They ain't gon' come for me. They ain't gon' come for me. They ain't gon' come for me.